Hello and welcome to CMO Moves. Today I'm excited to bring you something new. It is a series, and it's a series of 10-minute episodes, and there are 13 of them. So what is this series? It's actually what was recorded yesterday during the D&I Summit that included 13 incredible leaders who all picked a topic that was unique to them, and they interviewed each other. Now, I know 13 episodes sounds like a lot, but they are only about 10 minutes each. So if you have the time to fit it into your days, it would be great if you could try to listen to all 13 because each one is incredibly unique. And at the end of every one of the episodes, those speakers share three important actions for the industry to take so that we can all accelerate change together. In this segment, Marcel Marcondes, U.S. CMO of Anheuser-Busch, interviews Tariq Hassan, CMO of Petco, on how to convert caring into action.
So now let's shift gears here. I wanted to introduce you to Tariq Hassan, the Chief Marketing Officer for Petco. So welcome, Tariq. It's great talking to you, man. And welcome to the debate.
The celebration.
Yeah, exactly. Very special moment. Very, crucial topic. And I really believe that we've been talking a lot about D&I. When I say that COVID is forcing us to make an even bigger call, I really mean it. Because that's what I see everywhere. We're all grabbing all the essential elements. And now more than ever, either D&I is in or we're going to be in trouble. So how do you see this? Which are the points that concern you? And how are you driving this in your organization now?
You know, I think it's interesting. A lot of shared points with you, by the way, in terms of some of the comments you made. But I think on all of us, there's been some pretty shared themes here. And I think for me, one of the biggest things, and like you, I think we've got to move away from these being tactical exercises. And this needs to be much more of an embedded strategy all the way through the corporate structure, as you mentioned, with accountability, with measurement, with transparency, and more importantly, with celebration and passion of what you're trying to create as a culture and the communities you serve should be reflected in the communities you're creating in your own organization. And so, I think we spend a little bit too much time, focus on the data and the accountability of that data is great, but also move beyond that. Are you moving towards cultural change and really thinking through what those, those cultural elements are, right? And as you said, what is the culture and how are you measuring that as you go forward?
Exactly. This is a conversation about humanity. And we all, right? We are leaders. We're here to make a difference. We spend so much time in so many different forums talking about addressing consumers as humans, treating consumers as real people. And so it's all about that. And again, COVID is bringing us even more relevance to this conversation because it's all about reflecting about humanity and how are we going to change, evolve, and address all the challenges that we're facing now. So how do you see, do you have a few tangible elements? You just spoke about culture. Do you have a few tangible elements that you would like to call out from big changes or big pillars you're driving at Petco to really make a difference now?
And two, before I get to that, let me just touch on something you just mentioned, which is, the beauty of COVID is it's for so many issues for all of us, whether it's with our business or our culture or some of these issues we're discussing. At the same time, I guess I repeat something that you've heard said recently and throughout a lot of the themes that have come here, which is caring is great, action is critical, right? And I saw a statement recently that I love. We have a stockpile of caring. We have a massive shortage of action. And so I view these kind of moments as the opportunity, just as we do with our business. We get surgical and we get creative when we use these opportunities to do things uniquely, but to do the same thing with this opportunity in terms of the kind of approach we're doing. For Petco, it was an interesting journey versus some of the other D&I work that I've done around my career because a relatively broadly new leadership over the last couple of years, and that leadership when we came on, we were essentially coming from a pretty nascent state as it related to formalized and structural programming around D&I. And honestly, it was the passion of our partners and the work that they were already doing, having set up ERGs on their own. And it was that passion that actually was already present for this new leadership that we had to step up and say, look, this needs to be formalized and part of the culture. And so, you know, being in retail, lots of change, lots of places where you can spend money, but only one bucket to make those decisions. And we made a leadership accountability to this and say, no, these were things we were going to go after. Being declarative about the goals that we were going to set around leadership roles, right? Putting up an actual goal in place and saying we would go after a certain percentage of leaders from underrepresented communities from the director level and up, ensuring that we were thinking about the growth of the company that way. Supporting the ERGs in a formal way, helping them really be funded, helping them put systematic programming in place, and really allowing the celebration to become part of the culture. And it is, it's become very much part of that. We stood up a truly representative D&I council. I mean, these were real table stakes, right? These are some of the large organizations playing in this. These things are already present. But moving quickly to hit these really important things were important for us. Putting a roadmap down, communicating about the roadmap, putting metrics and measurement in place. A lot of the things people have already talked about, we moved very quickly to try and address and be present and really ensure we're doing it. The other part is, how are you actually doing the measurement? How are you looking at representation? Are you looking at it only through the legal lens of what we need to do from an EEOC perspective? Or are you allowing representation to be communicated by how your employees see it? Do you allow themselves to be defined? By my own experience, by definition of census data, I'm considered Caucasian. I've had an experience of sort of the definitional Caucasian life growing up, but allowing me now in our organization to define myself as a proud Middle Eastern American and allow those things to be part of who I am and bring that part to life. So we've done a number of things to bring that to life to the organization, and then more importantly, really start to think about how visible we are, not only in our community, but the community around us as well.
Oh, that's amazing. Impressive. You mentioned so many things already happening. And as you said, you're moving very, very, very quickly because otherwise things don't really change. So after you've gone so far, after so many things that we're changing, that we're bringing to life already, what's the one thing that you have as your next big objective?
Well, I think for us, it's making sure, again, putting these things into action. And so, for example, stretching the breadth of how we define underrepresented communities. You've heard a lot about the cultural communities and the gender issues, but also making sure you're being inclusive across aspects of disabilities and some of the challenges that partners face there. We're putting a pilot in place right now with one of our distribution centers to stand up a support system that allows partners with disabilities to uniquely come into a program to be trained and ensure that there's job experience. This is the second time I've had an experience in my career like this. When I was in the finance side of the business, I ran part of my organization was a 200-person group that was working in distribution and email systems. All are trained and were members of the disabled community. So providing opportunity to understanding of what it actually means, what is diversity in your organization, and making sure that it's not only inclusive, which I have to tell you is a word I agree with you, the order needs to be inclusive and first, but even that word for me doesn't go far enough for me. I find myself a little impatient with it. Everybody wants to be included. That's not enough. Just simply being included is enough. We need to belong. You need to create a community where there's a sense of belonging and engagement and that there's value to that belonging. And so I think that is the goal you have to strive for and that we're working towards. And to your point, you'll see it in the numbers. You'll see it in the engagement. You'll see it in the business results. It's a wonderful gift if we unleash it.
It's amazing. I love what you just said. We have to belong. It's really powerful. So it seems like we're running out of time. Tariq, amazing conversation. Would you like to leave us with the three big pieces of advice so that we can all pay attention to that and do more about it?
Yeah, I think you're starting to again see some themes with all of us that these are really important, right? Define your commitments, be visible and be accountable to them, share the measurement around it. I talk about address the pay gap, and I use this specifically and be representative across the all levels when you know the pay gap, not just the title gap, right? So it's not enough to promote. We have to actually remunerate and make sure that our communities and our populations are gaining the full benefit of that advancement and that we continue to close those gaps. I understand it takes time. I understand there's a magic wand that, you know, depending on the size of the company, you either can do it or but make a commitment to it and go after it. And then last, I would say is what you and I were just talking about is you have to create sustainable inclusion. And that's what I mean by belonging. This has to be structural. It has to be behavioral. And then you have to allow it to be. It's exactly what you were saying right before we chatted. How does it become just part of your culture? You don't think about it. You get up and if it was absent, you'd wonder what the issue was, as opposed to wondering why you're not doing it.
Awesome. Amazing. Very inspiring. Tariq, thank you so much. It was a great conversation. Looking forward to talking to you live as soon as we can. Thank you very much. And let's continue. Thank you.
Good seeing you, Marcel. Take care.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this very special and important edition of CMO Moves. I do hope you'll find time to tune into the other 12 segments that we have here posted for you. Also, please note that if D&I is important to you and to your organization and to your teams, we encourage you to also check out the new podcast on Adweek called D&I TBD. You can find D&I TBD on adweek.com or wherever you download your favorite podcast.